Well, good afternoon to you, and let me welcome you here to our regular Wednesday relaunch. This is your first time here. We run this every Wednesday, and it is really just an opportunity for however long you're able to manage, from 12:30 till 2, just to come in and pause and just relax, reflect, and take stock in a context where you've got some good soup, good company, and just a moment or two to pause in the midst of life that can often be busy, can sometimes be perplexing, and sometimes leaves us feeling just strange. And I guess for a lot of folk through the course of this past week, when we met last Wednesday, no one had an idea that we would be where we are today. I guess the only change that had taken place was the Prime Minister, and we thought, well, that's a big deal. And then, obviously, on Thursday of last week, with the death of the Queen, it has felt for many people like a bit of an earthquake, and the ripples of that have simply gone out and continue to go out through our society. So it's good for us just to have the opportunity to pause again today and simply to reflect. Why do we feel as we do at a time like this? And what is life all about? And so we deliberately call it relaunch, an opportunity to kind of start again with perhaps a better sense of direction, a clearer sense of purpose, and with a greater awareness of our reliance upon the Lord himself. Through this month, we will be thinking around a particular theme. The essence of which, as I introduced last Wednesday, was simply the truth that for anyone who is in Christ Jesus, and that simply means in a relationship with Jesus, anyone who is in a relationship with Jesus is a new creation. And we'll spend this month really just trying to think through and tease out a little bit what that means and why that is so significant. And so today I thought I might start by showing you a picture of a couple of folk. We'll put it on the screen for you. And I wonder how many of you recognize these two individuals. You've been bombarded with pictures of royalty over the course of the past days. These are not royalty, but they were in their day quite significant individuals. Maybe if I replace the one on the right. The one on the left is called Louis Wyszkanski, and the one on the right is called Denise Darvill. She was 25 years old. If I replace the picture of her with that picture, some of you may recognize that man. If I put up the date of the significance and then also the country and the place where it all happened, then maybe you have a better idea. Back in 1967, Dr. Christian Barnard in Cape Town on December the 3rd performed the first heart transplant where the person who received the new heart actually lived to tell the tale. There had been transplants before that, but none had survived. None had regained consciousness. But for the first time, this man, Louis Wyszkanski, who was a grocer with a chronic heart disease from which he was rapidly dying, he received a heart from a young lady, Denise Darvall, who had been killed in a car crash. And Christian Barnard obviously rocketed to worldwide fame. And it's very much that theme that we're going to be thinking about. Here was a man who was at death's door on the way out, being given not only a new start, but also a new heart. And it's that very much that we're going to think around today, around that theme of our being a new creation. And that's what I thought I would read for you from the Old Testament. One of the great prophets in the Old Testament by the name of Ezekiel brought God's word. He understood what God had been planning, and he understood what our need was, because our need is for more than just a new start. The best endeavor, best intention that we have, regular, when we kind of start out and think, yeah, you know, I must do it better, we still come a cropper. And what we realize is rapidly is I don't need just a new start, although I do need that. I need a new heart. I need to be made a new person. And Ezekiel brought this message from God. God said, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. That's really giving a new start, kind of wiping away all the stain, all that has muddied our lives. And that could be kind of little things, attitudes that we've adopted, resentment, pride, jealousy, whatever it may be. It can be things that we've said, sometimes things that we've not said when we had the opportunity and we just were too kind of cussed to say them. Sometimes things we've done, sometimes choices that we've made, and so on. And God says, I will sprinkle clean water on you. You will be clean. And the discovery of that, that's the reality of forgiveness, a very wonderful thing. And then he goes on, I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You'll see there that what the Lord was speaking about was the gift of a new heart. Long, long before Christian Barnard came on the scene in 1967 with heart transplants, God had already got the kind of prototype for that. The reality of a new heart, not a physical new heart, but no less real for that. And that's the promise that is made. And I thought we'd just look at what the Lord says there in those verses very briefly and use three questions. First of all, how does it happen? How do you get a new heart? What's involved in that? And that's really spelled out by the Lord in those words that he says, I will give you a new heart. It's not a case of our deciding and resolving, I'm going to pull my socks up, I'm going to be a better person. That just doesn't work. We discover that fairly rapidly in our lives. With the best of intentions, the best of endeavors, it just doesn't work. Something more radical than that is needed. And God says, I will give you a new heart. It is his doing. And what he promises to us is the heart that he will give to us is actually his own Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to kind of pump through our living his life rather than our relying on our own resources and our own endeavors and our own instincts. He says, I will put my spirit in you. That's the most radical, the most astonishing, and the most wonderful heart transplant that there is. And the Bible says it's one that we all need. We all have a kind of chronic heart disease. Spiritually speaking, our hearts are astray, are awry. And we need that heart transplant. We need a new heart. And that's the promise that God says, I will give you a new heart. It's a wonderful promise. And that new heart is simply God putting his spirit, his mighty, powerful spirit, the spirit of life, putting his spirit within his people. That's how it happens. It's God's doing a miracle of new life being imparted to us. And so you may well want to know as a second question, where does it lead? So he gives us a new heart, but where does it lead? And God spells that out as well so that we're quite clear what the end result of that will be. And he says, I will put my spirit in you and I will move you to follow my decrees. In other words, he's saying, you won't be able to live as you're meant to live under your own steam. But by my heart, my spirit being placed within you, he will pump the very life of God through you so that we are moved and empowered and enabled by him to live our lives the way that they're meant to be lived. And I think the past number of days, no one is perhaps more conscious of his need for precisely that than King Charles III now. I don't know what size of shoes the Queen took, but they are massive shoes to fill. And I think the whole of the world has been very aware of the manner in which she lived out her life, the manner in which she exercised her responsibilities, the manner in which she demonstrated so consistently all through her life that servant heart that is a reflection of the Lord and Savior whom she owned, namely Jesus, demonstrating that so faithfully, so fruitfully, and so consistently. And all of a sudden, in the face of his own bereavement, the passing of his own mother, the sorrow and the grief that is there, the awareness that he's now going to do that, he's going to fill those shoes, he's going to follow that act. How on earth do you follow that? And in your own strength, no, he's conscious, I think, there's no way in his own strength he can do that. And I think that's what lies behind his recognition in the public statements that he makes, that it is in dependence upon Almighty God. I'm not going to be able to do this myself. I will need a strength. I will need an ability. I will need a life that is not my own. And please God, he will indeed know that and rely on that. But that's the promise that God makes. I will move you to follow my decrees. I will enable you so to do. And that's the wonder of the new life that we get to live, that it's actually his life, his living, his life in us. God gives us a new heart. And so you may well ask a third question. We'll put the third question up on the screen for you here. What does it take? You simply have to go back to the heart transplant. It takes a death. Someone has to die if you're going to get a new heart. And in the same way, the scriptures make clear that in order for us to enjoy that new life, the life of our living God, it involved his coming among us in the person of Jesus and giving his life in death. He died that we might live. And through his death, we get his life. And it's his life that is given to us, the one who is now risen from death, the one who has prevailed over death, and who now gives us not only that life, but gives to us that victory as well, that our lives lived now in the power of his Spirit is a life that is lived to his praise and glory in his strength and by his enabling. That's the wonderful promise that God makes in Scripture. You find it articulated there by Ezekiel all those years ago, and it's one that finds its fulfillment and fruition in Jesus. It involved his death, that's what it takes. It involves our dying to ourselves as well, our recognizing that we don't have it in us to be able to live as we are meant to live. We need that new life. We need not just a new start, we need a new life. And it's that newness of life that is given to us by God in his Son, Jesus. We die to ourselves, as it were, to our own reputation, to our own strength, to our own pride. We say, Jesus, I need not only your forgiveness, I need your help, I need your strength, I need your presence, I need your life. And please, Jesus, you do your living through me, in me, and for me. It's very simple. It's not complicated. It is just crucial in the living of our lives to learn that reliance upon him. And please God, as in these days we all ponder why it is that we end up feeling as we do, why it is that there is such a weight of emotion. Some part of that is bound up with our awareness that we saw something in the Queen that resonated with our hearts, that gave a kind of fragrance of what heaven is like, an altogether different quality of life, a royal life, and the royal life of the King himself, King Jesus. Part of it is that, I think. Part of it is the awareness of our uncertainty. What's the future going to hold? She's just been there all the time. And now when you remove one who has been such a bedrock of society, does all society fall apart? What is life about? We don't have any of us that long to live, whether it's 9 years or 90 years. It's still pretty short. What's it about? How do we live it? And how do we live it in a way that ensures we're actually living life to the full and enjoying that victory whereby we're confident at the last even of a victory over death. And the scriptures say that's how. It's in Jesus Christ, God's Son, through whom, in whom we receive a new heart. So when people start talking about heart transplants, I put my hand up and said, yeah, I had a heart transplant quite a long time ago. They look at me and, you know, they want to take my shirt off and have a look at my chest to see what the scar's like. And I say, no, the scar is deeper than that. But it's a heart transplant, and I'm grateful to God for that gift that he gave to me in his Son. Let me pray. Lord, thank you that there are such rich and satisfying promises in the scripture. And thank you that you make clear to us what our human condition is, that for all our best intentions, for all our best endeavors, we do still, all of us, fall short. There are just loads of things that we regret. We had the chance to do it again. We'd do it differently in hindsight. And we thank you that in your Son there is forgiveness. There is that clean-up job in our lives. But more than that, thank you that in him as well there is that newness of life as you put a new heart in us. You take out of us that diseased, self-centered, self-seeking heart, and you make us new people through your own Holy Spirit doing the living in us. Help each of us to rejoice in that, to rest in that, to be learning how to live in the light of that day by day, that our lives may indeed be lived in your company and for your glory. Comfort all who mourn, not only the king and his family, but all who mourn. Sustain those who are weary. Strengthen those who are weak. And grant peace to those who find their hearts, for one reason or another, in real turmoil at this time. Thank you for your good gifts to us in Jesus Christ, through whom we ask it all. Amen.